Amen. Amen. We're going to be doing a little bit of praise tonight. Amen. We're going to allow God to have his way. Praise God. If while we're preaching, you have a word, the Lord lays something in your heart. Praise God. We'll be orderly about it and we'll hear from him. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe just give a love wave to your neighbor. You may be seated in God's presence. Amen. Hallelujah. The grace of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is here with us. And he's a living person. Amen. Wonderful Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Minister as it pleases you. I turn the meeting over to you. Have your way. Have your way. Bless us tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. This is along some sides of what I spoke about the first day. But let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Amen. Genesis chapter 17. Let's hear. This is what the Lord was saying to Abraham. He said to him from verse 1, he says, And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Hallelujah. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I'll make thee exceeding fruitful. And I'll make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between thee, between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I'll be their God. Hallelujah. He came out there and said that he is El Shaddai, or El Shaddai. Amen. This El Shaddai, praise God, is the God that is all sufficient, more than enough. Hallelujah. He's the God that is able to do all things. There is nothing impossible with him. He said, I am Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Now we fast forward. And we come to the New Testament, hallelujah, and God begins to talk to a servant of his in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 1, hallelujah. Let's go over there. 2 Corinthians 12:1 was talking generally, and God said something to him. He said, it is now expedient. At this time, he was like complaining to the brethren, you know, not necessarily, but trying to chat them, trying to say to them, you seem not to understand what is going on. Praise God. You seem to allow other people come in and begin to glory, and you're frightened by them. You know, I remember a minister said something to me. He said that in his church, there were people who had needs, and he was meeting those needs, only for him to invite one minister to the church, and somebody he was blessing every month, thinking he was helping her, in one night of the minister preaching, she gave out 100,000 naira. And he said he used to give her. It might not be a lot of money here, but it's a lot of money over there. And he said, what? So sometimes that happens. Praise God. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory, and I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. The Lord knew it. Such an one caught up into the such an one caught up into the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knew it. How that he was caught up into paradise. Thank you so much, Dignes Glory. How that he was caught up in paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Thank you so much, Brother Michel. He said, for though I would desire the glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hallelujah. Now, if we go to the book of Romans chapter 8, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Amen. Hallelujah. He helps what? Our infirmities. For we know not how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Now let's go back. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We thank you for who you are. Amen. The word translated that the Spirit helped our infirmities and that his strength is made perfect, all right, in weakness. And then the Apostle Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities. That word infirmity here and the word translated infirmity in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 are the same words. Praise God. The same words. Amen. But when God said, my grace is sufficient, he was talking about more than enough. Amen? In fact, if you were, you could almost say that my grace is what you need, I have made available. My grace is Shaddai. My grace that is inside of you is enormous. Don't look down upon the grace that God has put upon our lives. Because that grace is a person. In fact, it's practical to believe that it is El Shaddai, because the Holy Ghost is Almighty God. And he's the person that is on the inside of you and I. Just in case that some people wonder, who is that? That is the third person in the Godhead. He's a person. Hallelujah. He was there at the beginning. Some people wonder, are you trying to say that God is plural? God is not. There are many gods. No. There are three distinct personalities in the Godhead. There is God the Father, a distinct person with a shape, form, personality. There is God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with shape and form. He walked the streets of Galilee. Amen. Then there is God the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. In Genesis chapter 1, praise the Lord Jesus. When it came to the creation of man, all right, in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. You don't use words like us and our if you were trying to describe singular. These are plural words. Amen. Let us make man in our image. Some people thought he was talking about the angels, but he wasn't. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, now, hallelujah. The word translated God here is Elohim. And Elohim is a plural word. It's not a singular word. Amen? Now in 1 John chapter 5, we hear about three witnesses. Amen? Glory be to God. It says to us, for there be three that bear record in heaven, verse 7, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There be three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And we know that John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know, and he said the same was in the beginning with the Father, amen, with God. And it says that the Word, let's look at it, verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God, verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man. Sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth up every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus is the one that is being described here. That was the word that became flesh. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. Jesus then told the disciples, he said, I go unto my Father. It is expedient for you that I go. If I do not go, the Comforter will not come. Hallelujah, which is the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says, verse 16, chapter 14. He says, I don't want to read so many things. He says, I will pray the Father, and I will pray the Father. Let's back up a little. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 15, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, and I will come to you. Praise God. Now, Jesus, all right, said that he's going to leave and another person is going to come. That person is going to be another comforter, somebody who is going to make make the brethren not feel as orphans. Amen? But be someone who is just like Jesus in his presence with the church. That's what he was talking about. And this person already dwells in us. What I mean is that if you receive the fullness of the Spirit, he dwells inside of you. And that was what God was talking about. The Father was talking to Paul about. It was actually the Holy Ghost talking about himself. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. That the presence of he who dwells inside of you, that is greater than he that is in the world, is sufficient for you. You don't need any other thing. It's the Bible tells us that God is the one that is at work in us to will and do of his good pleasure. So he's the one working inside of us. Whether we be in trouble, God is with us. And we have in Christ Jesus, the Bible says he has obtained an eternal redemption for us. What is that? He has obtained a perpetual deliverance, eternal deliverance from bondage, from sin, from whatever it is that is contrary to our safety. God's grace that is upon our life is for our lives is for all time. Hallelujah. Bible says just as sin, that through the disobedience of one man, sin reigned unto death, so will grace through righteousness reign unto eternal life. And so, as we're talking right now, the Holy Ghost is inside of us taking steps to bring us to the place of eternal life. That grace of God that is in us is working, making us more godly, making us better. As the world gets worse, we're getting better.
creating and building righteousness, making us into the image of the sons of God, of the Son of God, bringing us into the place of perfection, maturity in Christ Jesus. His work in the Bible says, though our outward man perish, our inward man is being renewed day by day, day by day. Hallelujah. Day by day, we're being transformed from one degree of glory in Christ Jesus unto the next. And in the day that we're living in, we're still, there is something that needs to be understood. The Bible says, we shall, he said, as he is, so are we in this world. He said, do not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, except we are walking with the right mindset, all right, let this mind also be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the fact that we know that we are sons and daughters of God and that we are not inferior because we have the same righteousness deposited into our spirits. And so when we seek, what we should do is to emulate God as dear children because we are like him, made in the same nature in our human spirits. We're not different from him. As long as we don't walk with chickens, we think as the eagles that we are. You know, you look into the word of God and it says that we're more than conquerors. Then you look at yourself and the people say, don't talk like that, you're a wormy. You know, say how wretched you are and how you know, that is what makes you great. Just be humble. Be humble. Voluntary humility is a sin. And it robs you of your place in Christ Jesus. You see, we have come out of the world and we're headed towards the promised land, as it were. What do I mean by promised land? To the promised place in Christ that God has for us. Glory be to God. And he says who we are. He says you're seated together with Christ in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power. But the early church coming out of you know, the world, as it were, and headed towards the direction that God wants the church to go, are still looking at these things and saying, what, did you say I'm a king? But we've heard it over time that we're a nation of kings and priests unto God. Hallelujah. And these things that are in us are things that we should activate by the spoken word. We should accept it. Amen. And declare that that is who we are. Amen. And stand and begin to walk in that authority. And stop looking down on ourselves. And stop seeing ourselves in the image of the fallen man, but in the image of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We need to see ourselves in the image of Jesus Christ. And not in the image. The Bible says, as we're in the likeness of the former, so we'll be in the likeness of the latter. And who's that latter? Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we behold him, his image as in a glass, and we're transformed into that same image. Hallelujah. Because we're looking at him. We're seeing him as it is, as he is. And so when the circumstances of this life are coming against us, we ought to see ourselves as children of God. Who, you know, one of the things also that stops the believer from being who we are is the fact that we're sin conscious, inadequacy conscious. Hallelujah. We're conscious of the fallen nature and we feel that we're temporal in the kingdom. Hallelujah. We feel inferior. God, have mercy on me. Oh, what is sinner? This, that. You know, all those things. God doesn't want us to think like that. Because the Bible says, he who knew no sin, God made to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. And all these things are of God. So there is God unworthy? If it's of God, it cannot be unworthy. Because for something to be of God means that it originated from God. And the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever originates from God overcometh the world. In fact, when things want to come against you, it be calm. You get what I'm saying? Don't begin to panic and just be running around like a chicken. You know when the kites come, the hawks, and they steal a chick. You see the hen just running around in circles. Just be flapping their wings and be running all over the place, you know. There was a story once told about an eagle whose eaglet went and picked up a duckling. And it just came, swooped down, picked it up. And then they said the eagle asked the eaglet, said, what did the mother of this duck do when you were carrying his baby? And he said, just looked at me, was eating, looked at me, and continued eating. He said, return the kid back to the mother. So he said, because you don't know what he's going to do. Now, the hen, he now went and picked another one. He said, what did the mother do when you picked it? It was running all over the place and flapping their wings. He said, you can eat it. She can't do anything. She's done all that she's going to do. And that's it. It might not be scientifically correct, but that's the story. Hallelujah. As children of God, there is nothing to be afraid of. When we listen too much to the world, we begin to, operate at their level. And let me say something to you. It reduces what you have. It reduces it because we walk by faith. It's the things that God has put in us that makes us different. And we should be confident to declare what God has given us. Jesus said something. He said, if I say I do not know him, I'll be a liar. Glory be to God. He knew who he walked in the consciousness of sonship. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And if you now, if the world, they are waiting for you, and you are, when you came, you told them that you were a sinner. You know what it is like? Let's say that you were flying on an aircraft, and you landed somewhere, and there were some engine problems. And then the mechanic or the engineer showed up. Only while he was talking and touching things, he says, you know, I don't really know that much. I'm just here. You know, we all are ignorant of what to do. You know, I mean, we're just trying our best. When it's done, will you fly in that aircraft? You will come down and say, if you want to take my luggage, take it. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, and some of them say they are sinners. The Bible says something, And that is this: as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the words coming out of your mouth are proceeding from your heart. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You are not trying to be humble. You're being foolish and losing the things that God has given to you. He said, with the heart, man believeth. Believeth unto righteousness. Believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And he freely told us, gave us a key secret. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. That's a secret that God just opened up in the scriptures. And said, let the weak say, I am strong. It's a key. It's a kingdom key. He's trying to teach us at every turn how to operate as sons and not to become and speak like the world. You know, while I was talking and I was, you know, going to the Lord and I was looking at, you know, these things are not like, I'm not even talking out loud. It's in my heart. And I'm in his presence and I'm just saying, you know, what will happen to the year for more? And he said, what do I mean, what will happen to the year for more? He said, it changes nothing. I said, hey, well, it's true. I mean, it changes nothing. Hallelujah. It changes nothing. Why? Because God is God. Hallelujah. Men are not enough battles for him. How much more a virus? Do you understand? Men are not enough battle for God. How much more a virus? Do you understand what I'm saying? It cannot stop God. He said, I will go through it in a minute. In a second, God will go through it. Do you understand what I'm saying? He will go through it. It does not a factor. The devil is not a factor. When God wants to operate, God does not consider, he doesn't even call him. In the time when he was trying to teach me these things, he did not allow me to mention the enemy. He did not allow me to talk about. In fact, he was not even interested in me talking about COVID. He was just giving me instructions, things that will happen. I said, but he was not interested in me talking about it. It's like mentioning an idol in the presence of God. Do you know what he said to the children of Israel? Do not take their names in your mouth. The names of the gods of the heathen. He said, don't take it in your mouth. I notice sometimes there are things that I see. People write them. I can't even say them. I cannot say those things. That the world talks about. It's not supposed to come out of our mouth. Things that they're advertising are things that men ought to be ashamed of. You know, we should be the word made flesh. Which means that as we're acting and walking, is the word. When God dislikes something, he hates something, we hate it. That should be our attitude. The word becomes made flesh in us because we are sons of God, just like Jesus. What Jesus is expecting is that we will look like him. We will act like him. We will do the things that he does just the way he does them. Bible says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's how we ought to be. That's how we ought to be. Bold like him. Begin to learn the footsteps of divinity. How to walk in the authority that he has given us. And he said to the Apostle Paul, my grace, hallelujah, my empowerment, my ability inside of you is sufficient. I have given you something that is greater than what the enemy has. It's more than enough. In fact, I can't add anything else to it. It's in its full. It is sufficient. And so I stopped. I desisted. There is nothing that can be added to it. This thing you have is complete. Hallelujah. All that God was trying to do in introducing himself through the Old Testament in various names was to make man see, this is what I can do. This is what I can do. This is what I can do. This is who I am. When Moses now came to the mountain, God said to him, I am that I am. He said, who do I tell them sent me? He said, I am that I am. I am that I am. I am what you need me to be. What are your needs? I become it. Hallelujah. And he put an angel there and was speaking through the angel to Moses. But God tore the veil, kicked down the mountains, and came and merged with us. And we became one. He's living inside of us. He said, my grace is El Shaddai. My grace is inside. My grace. It's like you're saying, you know, there was a man, and this man was dying. He had always told his sons, the gold in the field. The gold in the field. And so these boys thought that there was a gold mine in their dad's field. I think it was E.W. Kenyon who was telling the story. And the man passed on, lived his days out, and he passed on. So these boys went to the field and started digging. They thought there was a gold mine, that their dad had a gold mine. So they kept digging and digging and digging and digging and trying to mine it, and there was nothing coming out. So one of them, who knew a little bit about agriculture, all right, touched the soil. He said, this soil is good for maize, for corn. And so he said, let's plant corn. So they planted the whole, you know, acres of land. They planted it with corn. And then come the harvest. It was so plenty, they sold it, they made a lot of money. They kept planting this, you know. Then about 3 or 4 years later, it turned on them. While they were looking at the field, he said, the gold in the field. There was this woman, Kenneth Copeland told this story many years ago in the 80s. I heard it. He said, there was a woman who worked for the Queen of England, one of the queens. I think it was Victoria, one of these people, one of those queens that they had. And she served the queen faithfully, it was said in the story. And when the queen was passed on, the queen left her a plaque. And the lady left the palace and all of that. You know, maybe the new person who came on board did not want her, so she had to leave. And then she had this little home or condo or whatever that she was living in, and then she hung the plaque on the wall. So one of the persons who knew the queen and the relationship that the queen had with this lady and how they were close now said to herself, you know, where's this lady? She just seems to have disappeared. And the story had it that he man or woman, he searched her out anyway and found her. And you know, he saw how she was living in squalor, in penury, and said, the queen and you were so close. I know she was nice to you and you were nice to her. Is it that when she passed on, she left you nothing? She said, she left me nothing except this plaque on the wall. And the man picked up the plaque and looked at it. And that plaque had the queen's insignia on it that said she was supposed to be provided for from the estate of the queen the rest of her life. But she couldn't read. God says, my grace is more than enough. Hallelujah. My grace is more than enough. So you don't know how much wrong that I did. My grace is more than enough. Do you know how many times I've missed it? My grace is more than enough. Do you know what I'm facing? Do you know the kind of enemies I'm seeing? The kind of giants that are there? My grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in your inability and inadequacies. That thing I gave in you, I gave to you, that I gave in, that I put inside of you, when you come against anything, it rises to the occasion. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That thing that I put in you is greater than anything you can think of in this world. Hallelujah. In fact, he told us way ahead of time that when the false prophet and the Antichrist comes, the greater one is in us. Now, does that mean he's not going to overtake some believers? He will. You know, let me tell you something. I believe that the rapture will take place before he starts operating. But there's something there that sometimes God does not always show up 9 a.m. on Monday morning. Because he's a faith God. He expects you to believe even when you're not seeing anything. Yeah, it might look like, oh, they're knocking on the door. You better come, let's go. And you don't know he wants you to open the door and face them. So what do you do? What do you do when you see things that are big that you have not thought of before? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What do we do? Do we turn and run and hide? Does the enemy care if you hide? You embolden him. Have you ever seen a dog pursuing you and you start running? Even if it's a little chihuahua, he'll be emboldened to come after you the more. Even while he's trembling and pursuing. You know those chihuahuas, they be trembling. They are in one spot, they're trembling all over the place. I don't know where they got those dogs from. I will not buy a chihuahua for anything. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. He said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. But that's not where I'm going. I'm bringing out something. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that did not sin, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses. God has considered many things unto justification. Hallelujah. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Hallelujah. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin had reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I'm not saying that you go ahead and do what is wrong. No, it's not necessary. The Bible says, reckon ye yourself to be indeed dead unto sin, but alive unto God. It's not necessary. What do? We stand as light. We stand in the place of our Father. We stand in the place of Christ upon the earth, in the place of Jesus Christ upon the earth, and operate as sons of God and daughters of God. When things are happening, we go and find out, what would the Master do in a situation like this? Is he going to turn off and run? No. If the matter seems such that he does not know what to do, he will go and pray. Bible says he will pray all night. He will just commune with the Father and talk about it. Say, then God will show him what to do. As he is, so are we in this world. Pastor Virginia was saying that, you know, she would pray and pray, and while all those things were going on, she was just praying and talking in tongues. Hallelujah. For me, I prayed too. And then the time came, I just was quiet, and the word of God was moving inside of me. It's like the word moving inside of me. There was something that Pastor Beatrice shared with me, you know, and she said that there was this young man who was mimicking a pastor. Actually, it was Pastor Chris. He was mimicking him, you know, preaching his messages and all of that. And something happened to the kid. I don't know if he fell or he was ill. He fell. Something happened to him, and he went into a coma. And so when they went to the man of God and said, this boy that has been mimicking you on stage and all of that, that he's in a coma, he said, don't worry about him. He'll come out of it. You know why? He had confidence that the word of God that was inside of him was strong enough. Meditate on the word. Because the Bible says something about it. Yeah, people were praying. You know, all manner of prayer were being prayed. But God does something that makes things very different. That word inside. Do you understand? Yeah, whereas some people will say, oh, you know, I'm here. I don't know what to do here. You know, and they said some people are so frightened that if they hear "co," they die. Hallelujah. You see this word? The word is alive. The word, I've been in situations using the word, because we understand that this bank deposit called grace is inside. You say, somebody says, are you trying to say we're self-sufficient and all of that? No, remember that there is no separation between us and God. It's not of us. It's of him. Do you understand? When you get to understand some things, you now don't you by choice place Jesus over the Spirit, though you know it's the Holy Ghost doing it. Do you understand? We know it's God walking, but there's no separation between us and God. Bible said, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That is mild. The Bible said that God is love. And his Bible said, by faith, we drank into the same spirit with God. We are one with God. He's in us. If you go into a human being in the realm of the spirit, if you go into us in the realm of the spirit, you can't separate us from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the anointing, we're smeared. As you're praying in the spirit, you're mingling with the Father, and his thoughts are being exchanged with you. Do you understand? The Spirit searches all things. He will search the Father and search you, so there's information exchange. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And so when we are operating, we're not operating as ourselves. We are operating in unity with God. He's the one that is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. And so, whilst it's in us, and we come across a situation, we can't be frightened because we're not disadvantaged. He said, I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Glory be to God. Do you know we're entitled to the same thing if you believe it? Hallelujah. Ours is free. Jesus worked for it. But ours is free. He worked. We got it free. Glory be to God. He said, I will excel. I have wisdom. I cannot be disadvantaged. Hallelujah. Things work for me. You know, let me say something to you. A child of God cannot be jinxed. If they jinx you, unjinx the thing. Yeah. The anointing that we carry, that grace that we carry, cannot be oppressed. Because it will break the yoke. The Bible says that the yoke shall be the body shall be lifted and the yoke destroyed because of the indwelling presence of the Spirit of grace, of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so when people are talking, when men are being cast down, we say there's a lifting up. When it's like there is drought in the land, see, you know, God loves us and wants us to act with confidence. Hallelujah. You find yourself in a land, they say, there has been no rain here for how many years? You say, what? And you went there to preach the gospel. Raise your hands toward heaven. Give thanks. And ask God to open the heavens and pour rain into the place. And he will hear you and he will answer you. He will proudly answer you and I any day. That's what Jesus was doing. This year is a year for more. As we began to declare it in the house, people started, you know, God first used the kebabs, you know, arranged it, pa, 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 pa. Something worked out where it looked impossible. In fact, he gave me one paper to make some comments on. When he told me the conditions they gave him, I knew it was time for El Shaddai. So I just kept quiet. I didn't say anything. If I was operating by my senses and with my banking knowledge and understanding, I would have just told him to go and shred the paper, that there's no need. You know? But I said nothing. I said nothing. Why? Because God doesn't take permission from anybody to bless you. to walk with you? No. As if he has the boldness to try it. God can do something. Because, yeah. You know, many years ago, my brother, he wanted to go to, my mom wanted to take him to Federal Government College in Enugu then. And she just got into the faith movement and, praying in tongues. So she prayed and said, well, all my children went to Federal Government College. It was a Unity School in Nigeria in Enugu. And he said that David must go to. I don't like the school he's going to. So she went online, I think she went to the Board of Education and took the list of the things that they were supposed to buy. Or maybe she took it from one of us, one of the ones who were still remaining in school. She took the list and bought everything that was there, put it in a box after praying, loaded it and everything, and she took it. So it was about it was the weekend leading up to the school opening on Monday. And if they open on Monday, that would have been the end of it. So she packed his things and all of that. After praying in tongues, charging up and all of that, she drove all the way to the school. When she got there, she went straight to the principal. You know, when you're in a school, you have 6 children and 5 of them have gone through a school, you get to know everybody there. Yeah. And so she went straight to the principal's home and took David and said, I have brought him. All his siblings went through this school. He needs to go through this school. He's done the exams and all of that. You need to take him. So the man was making an excuse. After making the excuses that he made, my mom said, I'm not going back with him. I'm going to leave him in your house. If you like, leave him here. So we had gotten to become family friends and all of that. And so the man said, but all right, let's say now that I decide to take him. All the things that he needs as a student are not here. And by the time you go and come back, we would have resumed. She just praised the Lord and said, I'm coming. She went to the car, brought out all the luggage, dropped it in front of the principal, and she just entered the car and drove away. So that was it. That's how he got admitted, in a nutshell. Hallelujah. So when you trust God and you know who you are, there's nothing impossible with you. Hallelujah. There's nothing impossible. God, he says this is a year for more. Did he not know that COVID was coming? He knew. In fact, he told us, he said, gross darkness will cover the earth, but my glory shall be seen upon you. So he says, it's a year for more. Believe me for more. Then I'm looking for, we're praying about the team. He says, it's more than enough. You know, it's like you're trying to say, God, we need more, more of the more, you know, so that we can overtake this thing, because we haven't seen something like this, not in our lifetime. And he says, I have given you more than enough. It's already in there. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Yeah, I know they say the Antichrist is coming. His disciples are coming. False prophets and all of that. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Forget the rest. Amen. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4, I'll be closing with this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Even now already is it in the world. Then verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who did you overcome? The false prophets, the spirit of the Antichrist, and the Antichrist. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's he talking about? My grace is more than enough. Just take the word. The word for the situation. The word for the year is more. Lord, I thank you because this is my year for more. I'm going to have more. I will have more. I'm not even going to stop at the buildings. I will have more. Because you are the God that gives us more. I'm not even going to stop with whatever that I see right now. I'm going to go for more. More's coming. Hallelujah. Increase is coming. It belongs to me. He says that concerning us, increase shall be upon increase. Amen. Hallelujah. He said the generation of the upright shall be blessed. His descendants shall be mighty upon the earth. He said wealth and riches shall be in your house. Amen. And so poverty does not belong in your house. I remember many years ago I used to say that wealth and riches are in my house. He said it shall be in my house. It's in my house. It's in my house. And the time comes when these forces, spiritual forces, will be set in motion. They cannot be altered years later because they've already come to stay. They are working. Amen. And don't be changing because of the things that the world is talking about. Train yourself in righteousness. Train yourself in talking right. Train yourself in the word of righteousness, in the word of faith. Train yourself. Discipline yourself to stand upon the word. That nothing is going to change. I'm doing well. I'm prosperous. Hallelujah. I have abundance. I have no lack. There might not be anything in your pocket. But you've opened the door and allowed God through the vehicle of your faith. Faith is the currency of God's kingdom. And so when you release your faith, God sends to you what you're looking for. What you have let your faith open. When you come to God, I need this. Say, where's your faith? Hallelujah. Where's your faith? Once your faith is out there, it will be done unto you according to your faith. Those of them who say that miracles, the days of miracles are over. It's not true. Because Jesus said to the woman of issue of blood, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. If our faith can make her whole, then your faith can make you whole. Your faith can take you out of nothing into something. It will make you fly over the year of COVID into the year for more. God does not consider the circumstance when he's talking to you. Have you ever seen where, do you know, in fact, this thing has been a mystery. Not now. You know, I used to hear men of God say, so many things like this, many years. Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. He says, when somebody's seriously sick and they're praying, oh God, send somebody, heal me. Okay, send somebody to heal me. And a man of God, a prophet comes and visits him when he's sick. He said, when the prophet comes, the prophet does not say, be healed. You know what he says? He says, thus saith the Lord, that a new phase of your ministry is coming and that you will, you know, go, you're going to be traveling from nation to nation. After saying it, he will turn around and leave you. Why don't you lay hands, let me be well? Say, no, but what God does is to put his word into you and then the word will pick you from where you are to where he's taking you. So God does not regard the circumstance when he says something. The circumstance, we used to say in those days, the circumstance cannot change the word of God. The word will change the circumstance. That word will carry you out of that circumstance and put you over. Bible says he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Because the Holy Ghost, remember that in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and the Spirit of God was moving on over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. But, you know, when the Spirit of God was moving, there was nothing. Until he said something. Praise God. The grace is inside of us, and it becomes pushed into this world in active format to effect changes when we begin to speak. Hallelujah. We begin to speak. God wanted the Apostle Paul to rule over those circumstances. He wanted him to. Glory be to God. That's why you notice that ministers today in Africa, before they go to a place, the amount of prayer, warfare, and things that go into it is not little. They make sure that they've demolished everything that can be demolished there before they get up from their home, that they say they want to go on. You need to see the prayers that go into crusades. African preachers don't just get up and just head somewhere. Even though the Lord said go there, there's a lot of prayer that goes into it. You don't just get up. You first of all demolish the things that are there. The rebel holders of authority, you level them. If they are witches, you paralyze. Yeah. You render them impotent, powerless. When you come in, they'll just be looking at you. You know, something happened many years ago. So my early father had passed on, and we were going to the village. And they had told us, you know, all kinds of stories. I said, okay. So I started praying in the Holy Ghost. I said, Father, two things. Maybe I won't pray that now. Maybe I love more now. Say, all the witches in that place, everyone that raises his hand. I say, but the others, they'll be like children. It's what we tell them to do, they will do. We'll finish what we're doing and we'll come back. The one man came there. You need to give us money. If you don't give us money, we will not allow rain. That's rain will not allow you to do what you want to do here. I looked at him. I said, go and try it. I said, go and try it. I said, don't give him a dime. I said, go and try it. Rain did not fall. Neither was there dew until we finished all the things we wanted to do. In fact, when we were leaving, they were saying, it appears their dad put them inside something. All these things they did here, nothing happened to them, and they have gone home. But following months, a generation of witches died in that place. Because in those days, I was not seeing the kind of prayers we pray here. It's true. In Africa, we don't play. It's not like here. In fact, the witches here are psychedelic. They tell you before they come. You won't try it in Africa. Say you are announce it that you are a witch. You are dead already. In fact, you won't get home. If it's not MFM, it will be redeemed. If it's not redeemed, somebody else will catch up with you. And MFM, they don't play. fall down and die. Fall down. And they will just be falling and dying. It's true. You dare not, in Nigeria, announce that you're a witch. You are finished. Up to the point of setting up a website. That's why they don't have psychics and all these things. Go and try it. Go put a shop there. You will live 6 months. It's true. So the greater one is in us. And God loves us. God is jealous over us. Zealous for his church. He's not playing. There needs to be that understanding. He's not playing. I know, you know, when we talk, it's not because he's not with us. No. We're saying it because of the believer who is neither praying, nor does he have a knowledge of what is going on. And so we say, don't go and give yourself into the hands of the adversary. Don't do it. Because if you do it, when that time comes, you would have taken the mark and you're not coming to come and say, what is that? Do you understand what we're saying? Praise God. He's given us more than enough. We're not disadvantaged. We're not defeated. We cannot be defeated. Hallelujah. Is it that you're more than a conqueror or you're defeated? And the Bible calls us more than conquerors. He's given us more than enough. We have more than enough grace to prosper, to do well. We're blessed beyond measure. We're blessed above all nations. Hallelujah. Because the blessing of Abraham belongs to us in Christ Jesus. We are the blessed of God. Amen. We are not confused. We know what to do. The anointing which abides in us, the Bible says, teaches us all things. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, you know all things because the anointing which abides in you teaches you all things. Hallelujah. He teaches us all things. I can never be confused. On what basis? I'm not confused. And I don't talk confusion. I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. I have a sound mind. A sound mind is not confused. Amen. And I take right decisions. Somebody may not agree right now, but on the long run, you find that it was the right decision. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm moving forward. You can't find me backwards. No, I'm moving forward. They that are in Zion go from glory to glory till we appear before him. Amen. And so you can't see me losing ground. It's not possible. I'm gaining ground. Hallelujah. Increase belongs to the church. Amen. Darkness may be in the world, but we will prosper. We will prosper in the soul realm. We will prosper materially. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We don't tithe to diminish. No, we're not tithing to an idol. No. We're tithing to Jehovah. And the things he promised, he will do. He said, have I said it? Will I not do it? Amen. And so we're not frightened. We're not a people that are wondering, oh, how is it going to be? We know how it's going to be. It's written. We know. Hallelujah. It shall be even as it is. It has been spoken to us in his word. Glory be to God. God has given us his word. It's more than enough. His spirit is in us. So all we do is to give him thanks. We praise him for all that he has done. Hallelujah. We begin to thank him. We begin to rejoice because he has done, hallelujah, he has done gloriously. The horse and the rider he has cast into the sea. Amen. Rise on your feet. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. We are victorious. Amen. Hallelujah. We triumph always. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Healing is mine. I'm healed. I have divine health. Hallelujah. I can never be sick. Glory be to God. Amen. For with the stripes of Jesus, I was healed and made whole. Things are working for me. I can never be poor. I'm blessed. Blessed above all nations. Amen. He said, I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though that he was rich, for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. I can never be poor. It will never happen. Under no circumstance. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
What if you lose everything?
No, it's not going to happen. I don't consider that. He considered not his own body now dead. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he was fully persuaded and gave glory to God. Amen. That's what you ought to do. Can I say something to you? Those thoughts that come that tend to tell you that which you will make you glad and make you happy and the things that you're thinking about and you're looking up to God for will not come to pass. That's how you ought to fight it from now. Depression is the feeling that nothing good will come your way. That's what it is. You've come to your wit's end. You're not having conversation with the devil. He says you're ugly. You say, yeah. Your life is the worst. You say, yeah. That's how suicide comes. There is no man that had the hope in himself that will commit suicide. It's not possible. If you're listening to Radio Heaven, you cannot commit suicide. It's not possible. You must have been listening to the devil. There's no way you can listen to Jesus. Peter listened to Jesus and walked on water. When he started listening to the wind, he began to sink. There's no way you can feed upon the promises of God by which you're being made partaker of the divine nature and turn around and kill yourself. It's not possible. No man that is walking by faith will kill himself. It's not possible. Because you have an expectation. And the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. You know, God is not dead. He's alive. He's only as dead as anyone's unbelief. Hallelujah. What do you say? I'm prosperous. I'm doing well. Those who expect me to fail better not hold their breath, because I'm going up. I'm moving to the top. The top is mine. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Listen, you know, I've been looking at it and I've been speaking the word for some time. And I'm looking at this house. You can't stay under this anointing and not make progress. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. The angels are here. They're hearing things, you know. And we're praying, you know. There's no way. There's traffic here. Angelic traffic. You understand? You can't stay here and not prosper. It's not possible. It's true. You can't stay. You stay among us. You there's no way you will not prosper. If you were cursed, the curse will leave you and run. It's true. It's true. And I'm telling you, hang here long enough. The devil will run. All the curse, if it's generational curse, it will do a generational run. To run away. It will flee. Yeah. You can't hang here and things not work for you. It's not true. Glory be to God. Jesus wants us to know he didn't do it for us to suffer. He did it for us to enjoy freely these things. That's why he looked at Peter when Peter said, far be it from you. That he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he knew, he saw the glory. He saw it. And it is our faith. These things that we believe concerning God that is counted for righteousness. Because we believe on him who raised Jesus from the dead. The enemy can't stop you. They cannot stop you. If the word of faith is in your mouth, you cannot be stopped. The word of God in your mouth cannot be stopped. It doesn't matter what's happening. It does not look at the circumstance to walk. It does not need the circumstance as a cheerleader. No. Just act the word. Act on it. And it will produce a result. I'm still rejoicing by the testimonies I'm hearing. I know some people have kept, you know, Pastor, God has done so much. He has done so much. He has done so much. Give us one testimony. I've done so much. Done so much. Tell us the testimony. And let me say something to you. When you testify, God will increase what he's doing in your life. Don't keep it to yourself. You know, somebody, you know, if I say that the Lord gave me $200,000, pastor will be wondering why he didn't see $20,000 as tight. Yeah, it's possible that it might cross my mind. But you see, it might be that there are some reasons. Maybe there was an investment to it. An investment was $100,000 out of, you know, and then you had to do that and you put. So I don't really go into all those things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's your thing. If you're not faithful in little, $100,000 is little. $200,000 is little. If you're not faithful in that, God won't give you $1 million. Because he knows that you are an unfaithful servant. But when you do it such that as you prosper, he prospers. His work prospers. As you prosper, you make sure that there's no lack in the house of God. Then he begins to bless you lavishly. He begins to not think about it when he's trying to bless you. He begins to do things for you. You know, when people are falling down, that's when you're just getting up to, you know, they fell off the roof. That's when you're flying. You're not flying. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Say, I love Jesus. Father God, I love you. I thank you for who you are. Thank you for this grace, this all-sufficient grace that you made available to me. I love you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. For my days are good days. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. For you said I flourish like a palm tree. I accept it. I flourish like a palm tree. I grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Hallelujah. I shall yet bring forth fruit in old age. I'm doing well. Things are working for me. Hallelujah. Everywhere I turn, things work for me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm favored. God surrounds me with favor as with a shield. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed. Glory be to God. God is my strength and my power, my life, and the length of my days. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're watching us, if you're not a part of the Commonwealth of Israel, you're not a member of the Kingdom of God, you don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, nor do you believe in him. It's time to change gods. It's time. Jesus is alive. God is alive. And he sent us to extend to you this awesome life, eternal life, through the message of the offer of salvation by the vehicle of the gospel. He said, whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. It's time to be saved. It's time to come out of darkness into light. Jesus is the light. Every other thing is darkness. Don't let them deceive you. Let us pray. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you could have been a homosexual all these years. You know, you hear me talk about the LGBTQ thing. That road is the broadway that leads to destruction. Don't be found there. Does it mean God loves you any less? No. What he's saying is that the love of God is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He does not want you to go to hell. He does not want anybody in hell. You might be a murderer, a thief. You might be a bank robber. You might have done so many things that are wicked. You might be a witch or a psychic or any of these things that God considers abominations, abominable before him. But today God is willing to forgive and to set it aside if you will receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ into your life. If you're willing, let us pray. Don't say, oh, I'll do it another day. No, tomorrow is not guaranteed you. When he says, with long life will I satisfy you, he's talking about people that are in Christ Jesus, that are part of the covenant. So let us pray right now. Say, Almighty God, I come to you, a sinner. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for me and you raised him from the dead for my justification. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and personal Savior from today forever. I believe you and I love you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, for receiving me into your kingdom, in the name of Jesus. Now that you have received Jesus as Lord of your life, he also has given you eternal life and made you a new creature. You are born again. Now I want you to take a step of faith that there might be the manifestation of these things, so that you don't be feeling, oh, I don't feel any different, so that the feelings that you need to feel will show up, that you know who you are. First, buy yourself a Bible and read from the New Testament portion. How do I know the New? Say, Pastor, how do I know the New Testament? Go to the table of content. You see where it says New Testament. I know you're going to see who was the son of. Don't worry about it. You get to the real gist later. After you've gone through who was the son of, it won't make sense to you right now. But years in the Lord, all those things will become valuable. Then you begin to read the story, the gospel, the account of who Jesus is to you. And follow him as the disciples followed him from page to page. Sit down when they sit down and hear him teach. Praise the Lord. When you see him pray for the sick, you pray for the sick also. Amen. Then, after you've done that, join a church fellowship. Hallelujah. Where they believe in the fullness of the Spirit. And with evidence of speaking with tongues. They believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They believe in healing. Ask them, do you speak with tongues? Do you believe in healing? If they say no, turn around and head somewhere else. Or write us and we'll tell you where to go. That is close to you. In Orlando, there are many churches. If you're very close to us, we're open also. The Blessed House International Church is www.tbhic.com. And you get our address and all of that. And then you find your way here. We're here. Praise the Lord. Now, the next thing you need to do is that you need to testify. You need to go out there and tell somebody and tell people, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I am born again now. Hallelujah. Then pray to God. Talk to God about your needs, about whatever it is that is bothering you. Pray unto God in the name of Jesus. Talk to the Father in the name of Jesus. Pray to him every day. And he will answer you. Hallelujah. Ask him questions. He will answer you. And read the Bible. All the questions you have are answered in there. Hallelujah. I know I did say read the New Testament, but then read the Old after you've read the New Testament in the context of the New. Glory be to God. To God be the glory. We thank God for your life. Now we're going to pray. Are you sick in your body? It doesn't matter what the doctors have said. We serve a God that is El Shaddai. He's God that is more than enough. His authority in us is more than enough. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, thou spirit of infirmity that is bothering this one that is watching, I command you right now, go from there in the name of Jesus. Every spell that's been set over that one, I command it to be destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. Every yoke of bondage be broken in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. I rebuke cancer in the name of Jesus. I command the demon of diabetes, go in the name of Jesus. Leave their lives right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I declare abundance over your life in the name of Jesus. But I pray for everyone who has a financial need, that Lord, you will supply. You're the God. You are El Shaddai, who's able to meet every need. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees and supplies. Lord, that they may know that you are God. You alone are God. Thank you, Father. You're not a God that was created. You are the Creator. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. And that one that has a relationship, a legitimate relationship, that the enemy has seemed to damage that relationship, I come against that force, every spirit standing against that relationship, that God-ordained relationship, I come against you right now. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Go from there right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray that you will supply all that is needed to make it a success. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.